For many years, Israel has violated well-established standards of international law and has defied numerous United Nations resolutions in its occupation of conquered lands, in extrajudicial killings, and in repeated acts of military aggression. Most of the world regards Israel's policies, and especially its oppression of Palestinians, as illegal and outrageous. This international consensus is reflected, for example, in numerous UN resolutions condemning Israel, which have been approved with overwhelming majorities. United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan said in 2002, "The whole world is demanding that Israel withdraw from occupied Palestinian territories. I don't think the whole world can be wrong." Only in the United States do politicians and the media still fervently support Israel and defend its policies. For many years, the U.S. has provided Israel with crucial military, diplomatic, and financial backing, including more than $3 billion each year in aid. Why is the U.S. such a staunch bastion of support for Israel? Bishop Desmond Tutu of South Africa, who was awarded the 1984 Nobel Peace Prize, has candidly identified the reason. Speaking to an audience in Boston, he said, "But you know as well as I do that, somehow, the Israeli government is placed on a pedestal in the U.S., and to criticize it is to be immediately dubbed anti-Semitic. People are scared in this country to say wrong is wrong, because the Jewish lobby is powerful, very powerful." Bishop Tutu spoke the truth. Although Jews make up only 2 or 3% of the U.S. population, they wield immense power and influence, much more than any other ethnic or religious group. Jewish author and political science professor Benjamin Ginsberg acknowledged this reality in his 1993 book, The Fatal Embrace. He wrote, "Since the 1960s, Jews have come to wield considerable influence in American economic, cultural, intellectual, and political life. Jews played a central role in American finance during the 1980s, and they were among the chief beneficiaries of that decade's corporate mergers and reorganizations. Today, though barely 2% of the nation's population is Jewish, close to half its billionaires are Jews. The chief executive officers of the 3 major television networks and the 4 largest film studios are Jews, as are the owners of the nation's largest newspaper chain and the most influential single newspaper, the New York Times. The role and influence of Jews in American politics is equally marked. Jews are only 3% of the nation's population and comprise 11% of what this study defines as the nation's elite. However, Jews constitute more than 25% of the elite journalists and publishers, more than 17% of the leaders of important voluntary and public interest organizations, and more than 15% of the top-ranking civil servants." Steven Steinlight, former director of national affairs of the American Jewish Committee, has likewise noted what he calls the disproportionate political power of Jews, which, he says, is pound for pound the greatest of any ethnic cultural group in America. He goes on to say that Jewish economic influence and power are disproportionately concentrated in Hollywood, television, and in the news industry. 2 well-known Jewish writers, Seymour Lipset and Earl Robb, made a similar point in their 1995 book, Jews and the New American Scene. They wrote, "During the last 3 decades, Jews in the United States have made up 50% of the top 200 intellectuals, 20% of professors at the leading universities, 40% of partners in the leading law firms in New York and Washington, 59% of the directors, writers, and producers of the 50 top-grossing motion pictures from 1965 to 1982, and 58% of directors, writers, and producers in two or more primetime television series. Vanity Fair magazine in October 2007 published a list of what it calls the world's most powerful people, a lineup of the 100 most influential media bosses, bankers, publishers, image makers, and so forth, who determine how we view ourselves and the world, and who, directly and indirectly, shape our lives and our futures. Jews made up more than half of the powerful men and women on the Vanity Fair list, reported a leading Israeli newspaper, the Jerusalem Post. The influence of American Jewry in Washington, the Jerusalem Post has also noted, is far disproportionate to the size of the community, Jewish leaders and U.S. officials acknowledge. But so is the amount of money they contribute to election campaigns. One member of the influential conference of presidents of major American Jewish organizations, the paper went on to note, estimated Jews alone had contributed 50% of the funds for President Bill Clinton's 1996 re-election campaign. Mother Jones magazine compiled a listing of the 400 leading contributors to the U.S. national elections in the year 2000. Of the first 10 leading contributors, 7 were Jewish, as were 12 of the top 20 and 125 of the top 250. The single biggest donor to American politicians is Israeli billionaire and media mogul Chaim Saban. In January 2007, it was revealed that he had donated approximately $13 million to various U.S. political candidates. Saban's ardent devotion to the Jewish state has been noted by the New York Times, which wrote, "He has since emerged as perhaps the most politically connected mogul in Hollywood, throwing his weight and money around Washington and increasingly the world, trying to influence all things Israeli. I'm a one-issue guy, and my issue is Israel," he said. Jews are also greatly overrepresented in the U.S. Supreme Court. 3 of the 9 justices of America's highest judicial authority are Jews. The Jewish role in Hollywood has long been a formidable one. This fact has been frankly acknowledged by Michael Medved, a prominent and influential Jewish author and film critic. In an article published in 1996 entitled, "Is Hollywood Too Jewish?" he wrote, "It makes no sense at all to try to deny the reality of Jewish power and prominence in popular culture. Any list of the most influential production executives at each of the major movie studios will produce a heavy majority of recognizably Jewish names." One person who has carefully studied this subject is Jonathan J. Goldberg, editor of the influential Jewish community weekly Forward. In his 1996 book, Jewish Power, he wrote, "In a few key sectors of the media, notably among Hollywood studio executives, Jews are so numerically dominant that calling these businesses Jewish-controlled is little more than a statistical observation. Hollywood at the end of the 20th century is still an industry with a pronounced ethnic tinge. Virtually all the senior executives at the major studios are Jews. Writers, producers, and to a lesser degree directors are disproportionately Jewish. One recent study showed the figure as high as 59% among top-grossing films." The combined weight of so many Jews in one of America's most lucrative and important industries gives the Jews of Hollywood a great deal of political power. They are a major source of money for Democratic candidates. Joel Stein, a regular contributor to Time magazine and a television commentator, dealt with this issue in a column for the Los Angeles Times entitled, "How Jewish is Hollywood?" In this December 2008 piece, he wrote, "As a proud Jew, I want America to know about our accomplishment. Yes, we control Hollywood. I don't care if Americans think we're running the news media, Hollywood, Wall Street, or the government. I just care that we get to keep running them. Reflecting their important role in the American media, Jews are routinely portrayed as high-minded, compassionate, and deserving of sympathy and support. While millions of Americans readily accept such imagery, not everyone is impressed. During an interview in 1996, actor Marlon Brando said, "I am very angry with some of the Jews. They know perfectly well what their responsibilities are. Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews. And they should have a greater sensitivity about the issue of people who are suffering." Jewish Zionist power is not a new phenomenon, but has long been an important factor in American life. In 1972, President Richard Nixon and the Reverend Billy Graham, the nation's best-known Christian evangelist, met for a private meeting in the White House. In a recorded conversation that was made public many years later, the two men spoke frankly about the Jewish grip on the American media. Graham said, "This stranglehold has got to be broken, or the country's going down the drain." The president responded, "You believe that?" "Yes, sir," said Graham. "Oh, boy," replied Nixon, "so do I. I can't ever say that, but I believe it." As powerful as he was, the President of the United States was fearful of a power even greater than his own. In a detailed 1978 study entitled "The Zionist Connection," Jewish American scholar Alfred M. Lilienthal raised the question, "How has the Zionist will been imposed on the American people?" In answering this question, he wrote, "It is the Jewish connection, the tribal solidarity among themselves, and the amazing pull on non-Jews that has molded this unprecedented power. The Jewish connection covers all areas and reaches every level. Most Americans may not even sense this gigantic effort, but there is scarcely a Jew who is not touched by its tentacles." The extent and depth to which organized Jewry reached and reaches in the U.S. is indeed awesome. The most effective component of the Jewish connection is probably that of media control. Jews, toughened by centuries of persecution, have risen to places of prime importance in the business and financial world. Jewish wealth and acumen wields unprecedented power in the area of finance and investment banking, playing an important role in influencing U.S. policy toward the Middle East. In the larger metropolitan areas, the Jewish Zionist connection thoroughly pervades affluent financial, commercial, social, entertainment, and art circles. "Jews in Israel feel free to act brutally against Arabs," writes Israeli journalist Ari Shavit, believing, as he put it, "with absolute certitude that now, with the White House, the Senate, and much of the American media in our hands, the lives of others do not count as much as our own." In Britain, a veteran member of the House of Commons candidly declared in May 2003 that pro-Israel Jews had taken control of America's foreign policy and has succeeded in pushing the U.S. and Britain into war in Iraq. Tam Daliel, a Labour Party deputy known as Father of the House because he is the longest-serving member of Parliament, said, "A Jewish cabal have taken over the government in the United States and formed an unholy alliance with fundamentalist Christians. There is far too much Jewish influence in the United States." Admiral Thomas Moorer, former chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff, has spoken with blunt exasperation about the Jewish-Israeli hold on the United States. He said, "I've never seen a president, I don't care who he is, stand up to them," that is, the Israelis. "It just boggles the mind. They always get what they want. The Israelis know what is going on all the time. I got to the point where I wasn't writing anything down. If the American people understood what a grip these people have got on our government, they would rise up in arms. Our citizens certainly don't have any idea what goes on. Today the danger has never been greater. Israel and Jewish organizations are prodding the United States into new wars against Israel's enemies. To sum up, Jews wield immense power and influence in the United States. The Jewish lobby is a decisive factor in U.S. support for Israel. Jewish Zionist interests are not identical to American interests. In fact, they often conflict. As long as the might of what Bishop Tutu calls the very powerful Jewish lobby remains entrenched, there will be no end to the Jewish Zionist domination of American political life and the mass media, Zionist oppression of Palestinians, the Israeli threat to peace, and the bloody conflict between Jews and non-Jews in the Middle East.